This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan Stretch Run, taking you up to 6:30 at the end of this here segment, also the end of the show. Someone's getting booted off the island and somebody's getting immunity on Commander's Survivor. Go get your last-minute votes in right now at Facebook.com/Grant and Danny.
The DMV's football team has a bright future. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morad can help you update your last will and testament or set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Tell them Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Thomas Dimitroff is a two-time Super Bowl champion, an executive in the National Football League. It was former director of college scouting, general manager, started as a scout and then a national scout, and he joins us on G&D. We had him on several months back to talk about Dan Quinn, who we knew very well. We worked side-by-side with in Atlanta, found out he was also very close with Adam Peters, so we wanted to check back in with Thomas, who's given us a few minutes here on The Fan. Thanks so much for the time. How are you?
G&D, I'm happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you.
You got it. We're fired up to talk with you again. The boys are balling out in Washington, D.C. so far. Peters' first season as a GM going swimmingly. Dan Quinn's culture he's establishing, working to perfection. What do you make of how some of your former peers are handling themselves here in the district?
Let me say it does not surprise me. First of all, with Dan Quinn, I mean, you think about Dan, you think about coming into that organization where, no offense to some of the people that were there before, good football people, however, there needed to be the culture change and the adjustment. That is Dan Quinn through and through. You guys know that, even being around him. You want to talk about getting you ramped up as a media person, let alone when you're in that building. I know what he's doing. I mean, Dan Quinn, I've heard our scouts over the many years. I've never met a head coach who's more functional with the entire organization than the coach that we had here at Atlanta back in the day. Can only imagine that's where he is. So culture for him, turning that around that way and having people believe in him and the players, you can only imagine people are buying in 100%.
Yeah, so beyond that, I mean, because I think that's a major thing, Thomas, why has this worked so well? I think it exceeded everyone's expectations. I think if you gave them truth serum in the building, they'd say, yeah, it's probably going better than we even thought it would to this point where they are. Why has this all worked so well?
I think it works so well because Dan comes in as authenticity guy, so he's true about it. Sometimes people think, oh, it's too good to be true. He's so positive and so in-your-face, upbeat, but that is him. He will fight you if he needs to, which I think is great, but he'll do it with a pat on the back after when he needs to bring you back. He just has a very good knack of doing that and leading the troops. And again, given a situation that you guys were in before, it just is appropriate for him to come in that way. We, a lot of times in the NFL, you know this. You got a coach in a situation a certain way, it needs something in a different from a different perspective to come in. When Dan came into Atlanta, guys, we came off of Mike Smith, excellent head coach, but we needed a change in style and approach, and it was just a really smooth transition. I see it the same thing with the Commanders.
How do they continue the momentum and sustain this? You know, they've got new ownership, a new GM, a new head coach, and a new quarterback who's been electrifying, and it feels like everything is brand new and is working. But 5-2 through seven games, while quite an accomplishment, you know, it's probably easier, frankly, than finishing this season that way or doing it again next year. Like, how do they continue to put the bricks on top of one another?
Well, let me first start by saying, you know how important it is to have a head coach and a GM on the same wavelength. You know, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, I think it's a really, really ideal matchup. Those two function well together. They communicate well. There's not a tug on personalities and egos of those two guys. They work well together. I think that's vital. I think going into the rest of the season, when you're talking about purely on the logistics and the scheme and the approach to what they have, I mean, obviously what they need to do is continue to work on that defense a little bit. That pass defense needs to be adjusted. You might want to talk a little bit about potential trade situations. We can talk about that later. I think making sure that that defense continues to function and improve all the time, get some more pass rush, get the pass defense rocking and rolling a little bit more, and then continue to get, you know, hopefully you'll get your quarterback soon back to the offensive side. Continue to be very smart about how you use this quarterback. He's got such upside. I think what Dan and Cliff Kingsbury are doing right now, it's ideal. Don't throw too many balls, but get him enough high percentage shots, get him running a little bit. Stay creative on the offense and keep that offense functioning as it is. I mean, what? They're ranked 4 right now, right? They're functioning well as a rushing team. Keep passing the ball. Be mindful of attempts per game, but be smart about, you know, making sure your high percentage shots are there. Limit the giveaways. They're tied for 3rd right now in total giveaways. Remember, guys, that is a massively important thing. Keep playing smart football. Keep being consistent, and I think they have a chance to run it deep.
Sumer Sports, Thomas Dimitroff with us. Then to that end, Thomas, how would you handle this trade deadline? Because, again, it may be ahead of schedule, but you don't apologize for your success. You're here. They've got a long-term plan, it seems. Tons of cap space. A full allotment of draft picks going to next year. Would you say, you know what, we're here, let's go for it, or would you be more cautious?
Look, I keep trumpeting this, and I think the Raiders fans are going to be agitated with me, but I know Dan Quinn. I know Dan Quinn loves legit pass rushers. I'm talking game-breaking pass rushers. You know where I'm going with this. To ever see a guy like Max Crosby come in there,
oh my God,
pushing that to continue to build because, you know, they have a little bit of age on that pass rushing side too. I think that would be an ideal fit. Now, I know everyone in Detroit wants him there, and I think there are people in Atlanta that want him here. But I think the mix, Max Crosby and Dan Quinn, you don't think your city would go nuts over that? I think that's an amazing throw around. I also think someone like Denzel Ward would be someone you'd consider. You want to continue to build that pass defense? Maybe a guy like that's available. Keep working on that defense. I know there are people out there wanting maybe a receiver on the offensive side. I think some of the receivers kind of have already gone their own way. I don't know necessarily who that would be on the receiver side. I still would consider it. I think you should be a player given where that organization is right now.
Put yourself in Adam Peters' seat, and you know Adam. Obviously, you guys were together in New England at one point in time. But when you talk Crosby, I mean, that's a home run. That's a grand slam, right? Would you be that aggressive in your first year? I mean, is there any thought to, we got all the money in the world this offseason, second most in the league, we got all the draft picks, let's wait, regroup, see where we are? Or are you kind of aggressively going, no, I got the quarterback, I got the team, let's not waste time on the rookie contract, let's go now, even though we're in year one and we're ahead of schedule?
All right, I was about ready to throw in an expletive here in the F, but I was going to say this is a not for long, you know, in parens, effing long league. I mean, man, I think you capitalize again. I'm not getting out of their means, of course, not getting ahead of the skis, et cetera, et cetera. I think you really have to seriously look at it, right? You just never know. Yes, you have the quarterback, and you could sit back and be conservative about it in your own way and say, let's just see how this plays out. That's not Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn has always been on the front edge of our rosters. Whenever we talked about it, it was never about, we're good here, let's just stay here. It had always been, in all of my years with him in Atlanta, it didn't matter if it was the lower level of the practice squad all the way up, he was always looking respectfully to improve that roster. And if he had a moment and an opportunity to do such, it was a serious consideration. Now, Adam Peters might need to be the guy that keeps it in check a little bit. That's part of his job. But if there are opportunities to continue to build this football team with the momentum they have right now, again, I am for it. There are other teams out there, by the way, that I would never think about that. I think this is one that they have to seriously look at it, given their financial situation as well.
Did you guys ever face anything like this in Atlanta where you were ahead of schedule or something? The team was maybe better than you'd planned for? I mean, you had so many huge double-digit win seasons there that you did kind of make a go-for-it transaction. I'm trying to think back.
No, I would say, look, we considered a lot of it. We were really getting a momentum in year 16, of course, in 2016. We got to the Super Bowl, of course. we kind of messed that up down the stretch. And I think, by the way, that's one of the things that Dan, you know, and I or anyone involved would have learned through that time. No, I think it was more being really active on the other side, being very regular about bringing players in on the Tuesdays, working people out, seeing if we could upgrade the roster. So I know it is of in his makeup, but we didn't look at it this way. We didn't always have, remember, financially, Arthur Blank and how we approached it there and how I approached it, we were always one of the big players. We were always one of the big spenders, right? We were always probably the third or fourth top spender. So we didn't have a whole bunch of money at this time of year where I think, I don't know the exact number you guys have there in Washington. What is it right now? What's the space?
So at the moment, it's around 24, 25 million in cap space. Next year, it's around 100.
Isn't that amazing? That's what you want.
Yeah.
I don't, man. I'm just saying, I think you got to seriously think about being aggressive with it.
I would love that. It would be fun for this town because it would really, to your point, I think we're all kind of saying, oh, it's early in this period, but you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who gets hurt in preseason next year. If the flow is different for the team, you start out 1-2, you got a tough schedule. What we know right now, Thomas, is the division's not very good. Dallas and Philly have not proven to be very solid. And the conference itself is pretty wide open, so why not?
Yeah, I think you have two men there in Adam Peters and Dan Quinn putting that team together. They juxtapose and I think they're just a really good mix. I think they're going to keep each other in check that way. However, you have an owner who is open, and I think it's great for the community as well. I do want to say that I know that they will do their due diligence in trying to decide whether it is of sound mind or not. Again, I'm getting out there saying Max Crosby again, but you know how I think that could be an aggressive move. It may not be what's in Adam Peters' best in his mind, but, you know, he may be thinking about it.
Thomas Dimitroff of Sumer Sports with us here on Grant and Danny. Answer me this, and you'll know better than any guest we could have on. So I have always talked about the NFL. I thought it was weird because the trade deadline has kind of always been a nothing burger. And it's nothing like the other sports, NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever, where it was kind of this holiday as a fan and there was a ton of trades and a lot of activity and star names are going from one team to another. I will say the last few years in the NFL, it is trending more like the other sports. We had DeAndre Hopkins traded today. There have been a plethora of moves already this year. And it really is getting more and more that way. But it's always been a big conversation like, oh, what if they traded for this guy? Or what about that team doing this? And then nothing ever happened. So two-part question. Why has that always been the case that the trades, especially for impact players in season, just don't happen? And second, why is that changing here over the last couple of years, do you think?
So first of all, when you think about the stats, probably 2016, 17, 18, during that area, probably averaged, if I'm not mistaken, in the sevens. We're now doubling it over the last couple of years, right? 14 plus 0.53, whatever it is, as far as trades. I will say it's still nowhere near where maybe it should be and where it's going to go in the years to come. I think if you brace yourself, I think it's going to continue to get more and more over the years. There are a lot more aggressive general managers with this younger group than it used to be. A lot of the older school GMs would sit back, not being lazy about it, just more conservative about it. In today's world, I mean, look, I like to think I was one of those people that started it with a lot of big-time trades, starting with Julio Jones back in 11, right? A lot of movement. Les Snead has made a lot of moves. Howie Roseman has made a lot of moves. The Rams and, of course, the Eagles and a lot of other GMs are thinking about it, back to not for long. I think these guys are thinking about it a lot more aggressively than they ever have. I would say I was always vehemently opposed in the maybe 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I didn't want anyone to leave our building. If they were good guys, I wanted them there. It was tough for me to think about them leaving. And a lot of times the people that were coming available back then were either character issue guys or they were declining. They still might have had a name, but people weren't playing in that world. Now some people are coming available, and they're on the market because people are thinking, okay, financially we need to move this guy even though we love him. And I just think there's going to be more of that, and that's why you're going to continue to see more of that, again, given the combination of abilities out there, and it's happening more, and the aggressive general manager mindset.
How much did you look at, or would you look at even now, the landscape of your own division when it came to making moves or not? In other words, if you're the tallest of the molehills, you don't need to make a move, or maybe you think we need to. Like, how would that influence thinking there for you, Thomas?
You're saying within the division?
Yeah, just sort of looking at
the NFC North where everyone's loaded. And that's versus...
Yeah, how would you view it differently? Like, in other words, if Washington's the best of a bad division, I'm not saying it is, but if they were, would that change your thinking versus I'm in a crowded division where everyone's going to win at least 10 games? Like, how would that change your thinking, or would it?
I don't think it would. I think it becomes something that you discuss within your organization. It comes down to your team builders and your general manager and your head coach. Of course, your owner has to chime in. But I've always taken a lot of pride in that role to say, look, this is going to be our approach. We're going to be aggressive to this point. I believe that Dan and Adam are having those discussions, whether it's a good division or not a good division. Of course, you want to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. I get it. But I think you just have to be mindful of what's out there. Look, some of the biggest mistakes have been made because of an excess push on need. I'll raise my hand on some of the biggest mistakes I made. Most GMs will say that. Most head coaches will. I don't think there's an excessive need there at Washington, so I don't think it's one of those situations where they're just flailing around making a grab at someone because they think they need that to survive. They are operating well. They think they can bring someone in who can continually help them rise to the occasion. That's a good thing. Don't get out beyond and start making the wrong choices because you need someone badly.
Were you with Kingsbury at all?
I know Cliff well over the years. I was, we did not spend time together, okay. But for being in New England back in the day.
That's what I was wondering, if you guys crossed paths in New England. But I bring that up to say, my goodness, has he done an amazing job with this offense? You know, even when Daniels, who is an MVP candidate, wasn't available for three quarters against Carolina, they scored 30 points and didn't miss a beat with Mariota this past week. What do you think of the offense he's designed? And B, is that a guy who we should worry about becoming a head coaching candidate again in the near future?
Well, like Cliff, I think he's a very smart guy in a lot of ways. And I know he's taken his heat over the years and people have their comments. I think what he's done a really good job of this year, and we ran a lot of this data without getting to a ton of Sumer Sports where I'm working right now, and a lot of the data on how he, you know, He had a trend of playing that receiver, the top number one receiver, on the left side of the formation a lot, and he's not doing that as much now. I think he's becoming quite a bit more creative. I think he and Dan Quinn have probably talked about this a lot. I think Cliff comes in and he's seemingly a lot more, again, he's adjusting a lot more, and I love what they're doing this year. Again, knowing that they have a quarterback, you know, again, attempts per game, guys, tied for 28th, and still 13th in the league in passing. Again, I know Mariota played last week. They utilized a quarterback who was very good. What are we talking? 75-ish%. They are putting that quarterback in the right spot. They're running the ball well with Robinson, right? I just think that the way that he's putting together this offense is impressive. It's consistent. He knows where they're thriving. He also knows where he has to sort of slow a little bit down and not expect the world. And I think that's a really good opportunity for him to show who he is. Look, third downs, they're third overall. I think they've done a great job there. Pressures allowed, they're still top 10. What do they think? I think around eighth in pressures allowed. I just think the way that offense is coming together, given a very good quarterback who moves around well, I think they're capitalizing as much as they can, and that is kudos to Cliff.
Yeah, and I want to give some more roses to Cliff here for a second, Thomas, but by mentioning somebody else. You go back over his history, he's had good running games when his quarterback, Kyler Murray, was scrambling all over the place, and that was a huge part of it. That's not what he's known for. This run game, non-sort of quarterback keeper division, via to me, I think Anthony Lynn is an underrated element of the staff because that guy knows running games. Like, maybe as a head coach, you could have used some more diversity there in terms of play calling and offensive design. But I feel like having him on that staff, it can't be a coincidence that they are thumping people and running really effectively. Give me your thoughts there.
No, they're running really effectively. I mean, 165-plus yards, you know, a game, whatever that may be. I mean, What are they, yards per play, 5.5 or 5-something? Those are good numbers. Anthony Lynn is a fantastic, yes, 100% when you start talking about, you know, having a run game and an understanding of the run game. Love how they're playing it. I think it embodies what they want there as well. Dan Quinn, he's a fighter. He's a boxing guy too, right? Mm-hmm. Just to pull some of that. I just love his toughness, and he wants a tough-ass team. He wants a team that's going to rock it if they need to. But he also wants the finesse of prime athletes, which is what he's always been about.
I'll let you out on this one because we could keep you, but we can't. We've already taken up too much of your time. But Jaden Daniels, he's questionable. He didn't practice today. We don't know if he's going to practice throughout the week. Didn't break the rib. Dan Quinn has kind of been coy in saying it's a rib injury. They're hopefully plays. How would you handle him knowing it's seven games into this career the way he's looked?
Well, that it's a rib injury, guys, and it's not something else catastrophic that you're on the verge of. I think that's the difference. I think a lot of, you know, tough-ass quarterbacks out there, guys who are resilient, are going to want to play. Now, we could see if he gets in there and all of a sudden he's aching, he can't make the throws because he can't twist the way he wants. Then I think they need to make the adjustment back potentially to Mariota. I would love to see him get in there. I think it sends a great message if he can. Again, I wouldn't push it. I'm not that worried about playing him this week and thinking it's going to injure, you know, his progress at all. I just would be mindful. I'd keep it up until the very last minute and make that decision. And again, it's not an injury that's going to take you over and put you out for, you know, obviously a season.
Tom's great with us as always, man. Really appreciate the time.
Appreciate you guys.
You're the best, Thomas.
Thank you,
buddy. Thomas Dimitroff, former GM in the NFL. The fact that he worked with DQ and with Peters, I think, just makes him invaluable when it comes to talking about those guys. But that's something I want to circle back to tomorrow. How about him suggesting, if he was running the show, and he was one of the more aggressive GMs,
yes,
like they made a lot of trades. He's like, why not?
Yeah, Les Snead before it was cool.
Go get Max Crosby. I mean, that brings some...
As soon as he said that, I had one of the, I was like Vince McMahon in the chair, dude. Like, I sat back.
My lips are filled with smiles.
Whoa.
It is time to figure out who's getting booted off the island, who's getting immunity. It's Commander Survivor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Darius, you were telling me we got a record number of votes today. Most we've ever gotten on Facebook at Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Very good sign.
Well, when the team is winning, the people show out, and we thank you for that. And we had to send somebody home. This is a tough week to send somebody
home.
There's just nobody that really didn't perform. Unfortunately, turns out this week, Quan Martin, safety, is being sent home.
I'm a little surprised by that.
This one ain't fair.
Quan Martin's playing well.
I voted Brandon Coleman off for no good reason. He didn't play. Like, he got hurt.
He got a concussion, so you kicked him while he was down.
Yeah, which felt terrible when I hit send. I didn't like it.
The runner-up indeed was Brandon Coleman, but it looks like Quan Martin unfortunately edged him out with a few more extra votes.
Pack your bags. You are guilty of playing good football.
You played well.
Performing well?
Right.
How dare you?
Good problem to have these days.
I know it.
With the 5-2 Washington Commanders.
As far as immunity, it wasn't as close. The people love them some Brian Robinson. For the third time this season, he gets immunity.
Six yards a pop and a tutty.
Yes, but also we sleep on how popular he is in the fan base. I don't know exactly why it is. I mean, he's really good. Don't get me wrong. He plays running back. But he is beloved. I think a lot of it goes back to his style of play, how physical he is, how many tackles he breaks. Mm-hmm. Just a big battering ram. He was also a star in college. Everybody kind of remembers watching him time and time again at Alabama. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't suggest. I mean, he got shot
in the leg. Yeah.
And was back on the field 4 weeks into the season. I think that is pretty badass, and people love that about him.
Yeah, people love running the dang ball around these parts. I voted for Frankie Louvu. This is the Frankie Louvu game to me. Like, he was unbelievable in this one. So but he's had immunity too. So, by the way, I love it that it's hard to vote guys off. Like, that's fun.
Absolutely. Tomorrow on Grant and Danny, another 2 to 6:30, 4.5 hour full show. At 4 o'clock, we'll give away those Disturbed tickets. At 5 o'clock tomorrow, Danny Cannell's going to join the show. You know Danny Cannell from his work covering the college game. We'll talk college football weekend ahead, the Heisman race, and also Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, their rookie seasons, juxtapose how all the rookie quarterbacks are faring early on as well. So that's tomorrow on G&D. But let's get you a Caps power play before we get out of here. Caps Flyers, top of the hour. Second time these two teams meet in as many days. Yesterday, the Caps just shut the Flyers down. Their fans were booing them off home ice and left early in a 4-1 win for Washington. It's going to be tough to beat them two times in as many days, but the good guys are looking for a fifth straight win.
Yeah, why not do that? How about a little Mississippi two-piece? They made some dude active who was there to fight. He lost that too. So why don't you go home with your tail between your legs on a silent bus ride, and I want to see the camera cuts to John Tortorella smirking smugly as his team gives up goals.
We'll catch you tomorrow at 2. Friday, we're going to be in Manassas. If you're in the Manassas area, please come out and watch the show on site live. Come say hello. If you can only swing by, that's okay. We'd love to chat with you for a minute or two in a break. That is Friday afternoon off Sudley Road in Manassas. Uptown Alley is where we will be for our Friday field trip series. Toby's got overtime. It is a shorty, like a short-handed goal, like what the Capitals had two of last night.
No, thank you.
In Philadelphia. A Topvertime shorty next on Grant and Danny.
Thank you for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.